Glad a couple of you are awake. Hopefully we'll get the rest of you going here shortly. Thank you guys for leading us as we come and worship together and as we sing together as part of our worship and we preach, as we fellowship with one another. We're grateful for their time that they give week after week to prepare and to come and to sing praises to the Lord. We are right now going through the book of John. We've been teaching through that through this year. Two times a year we take a break to kind of branch off into a couple of other sermon series, just short, usually about 4 weeks, and then we get right back into the book of John. Right now our break is that you're building four messages off of the scripture that was read this morning out of 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And so we see again, as all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man and woman of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So we're preaching four messages off of teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. So last week, Pastor Rush preached on teaching. He talked about how we must know God and we must know His ways and the things that He tells us in His Scripture. As He leads us, by knowing these things, He leads us. He leads me in the way that I should go. I learn to listen intently to the teaching, to the Scriptures that God has given to us to give us direction in our lives. Talked about being obedient and submissive to this teaching and to these words and the things that God, teaches us through the Scriptures, through others, through one another. Then he talked about us having our New York identity. If you weren't here, you had to be here to kind of appreciate that. He was just talking about how there was a great desire that people that are from New York are really proud of their heritage and where they've come from. And he said always wanted that because he moved around several different places. You know, and you didn't have that. But when we come to Christ, we have an identity that's far greater than just from being from New York. And it is our identity. Our identity is in Christ Jesus. That's who we are. That's when we've been saved and God indwells us. That is our identity. We're no longer some other form or label that may have been placed on you because of your background. Our identity is in Christ Jesus, and that is huge. That is something to grab a hold of and to hold on with all that you have. And then he talked about our response and that how we are to wait all the day. So in the teaching, we learn and then we wait on the Lord. And that's not just that we're sitting around going, okay, waiting for God. You know, you just tell me, I'll go do something. There is a passive waiting where we are waiting for God's direction. But in that, there's also an active waiting. There is, while we're still serving, while we're still doing, and we're seeking to please God, and we're doing the things that He has commanded us to do. As we serve, as we do things, that's the way God moves in our lives. You're looking for direction. I found in my life, I've lived a little longer than most of you here, that along the way, as you continue to serve God and love God, He moves you where He wants you. He'll make it really clear to you. It may take a little while, it may take His timing for us to get in step with Him. But as you continue to serve, God will lead and guide you, and you'll end up in places you never dreamed you'd be in. So anyway, we come off of that, out of the teaching and the challenges that He gave us. And now this week, we'll be looking at reproof and going, why? Why are we doing this? Why are these things important? So what? This is kind of almost the question. He finishes that in verse 17. So that the man, a woman of God, may be adequate, may be complete, may be furnished completely, equipped, what? For every good work. For every good work. So as you come to Christ, it's not just that we get heaven. That's not the goal. This is so that we will do a good work. There is a good work. God has called us into His family. He has redeemed us. So we've been studying in ABF. He has sanctified us. He's made us righteous. We're as good as there. We're as good as righteous in some sense, but yet we're still being sanctified. as we talked about this morning. We're still working and striving towards our righteousness that we are to live and who we are. This is who we are. This is who God called us to be. In Ephesians, in the second chapter, in verse 10, it tells us, "For we are His workmanship. We were created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so that we will walk in them." So each one of us, those who claim to know Christ, who have come to Christ, has taken Him as Savior and Lord. God has called us to a good work. He has a plan for each one of us to do this good work so that we will bring Him much glory and honor, and we'll be able to reflect who He is because of the work that He has done in us. So this week we're looking at what I'm calling the acts of love for my good. If you wanted a longer title for a message, which they would usually stay away from, I would say, "And for the good of others." And I think you can add that real simply. These are acts of love. As we look at this one topic of reproof, that these are acts of love that come into our lives for my good, for the good of God, and for His glory, and for the good of others. That's part of what we say here. We long to be in this community, to make God known and for the good of others. It's part of the call of our church. So as we look at this, what is reproof? What is rebuke? What is, I was talking to Court earlier, and I said, I'm not going to get into all of that. I do think there's almost levels here. Reproof. Listen to reproof so that rebuke doesn't come. Rebuke can be a little bit harder, a little bit more, stop. You're down a path. So we're looking at this word reproof this morning. It is kind of a correction, a chastening, a conviction. You ever fallen under conviction about something? This is kind of what the word means here, reproof. A change of direction on a destructive path. It's like a fork in the road for a sinful soul. That's what reproof is. You ever come to a fork in a road? I used to have a group of men that used to go to the Masters golf tournament. When we went, it was actually the practice round, because used to you could go on Monday and pay $5. Tuesday was $7 and Wednesday was $9. But you could get in. And if you don't know anything about the Masters, they're like lifelong tickets. You can't get them. They're passed down through the families. They're unbelievably hard to get a hold of. But you could go to the practice round, and you could walk around, and there's nothing like that place. It's unbelievably gorgeous. And maybe if you don't love golf, you can throw all the way. There's nothing out of place. And everything is done to the tee. Everything there is green. It's phenomenal. However, we used to go, and there would be usually about eight of us, and we'd be in two vehicles. And I remember one of the first trips early on, we were leaving and we would drive up on a Monday or Tuesday whenever we were going. We'd go play 36 holes of golf and then we would go up to Statesboro, Georgia. We'd spend the night and then we'd leave out of Statesboro and go to Augusta. And early on, I had no idea where we were going. I was in the second car, and the one guy who didn't know where he was going, we had been driving for a little bit, and he went to sleep. But we hit a fork in the road. He wakes up about an hour and 15 minutes later, and he's in the other car, and he's going, "Where are we? We should be there by now." And he's like, pull over, and there's just some little mom and pop little grocery store out in the middle of Georgia, nowhere. And he goes in and goes, "Can you tell me where Augusta is?" And they go, "Well, I've heard of it." We were an hour and 15 minutes in the wrong direction. We literally had to turn around and drive back the other direction about 45 minutes before we could ever hang a left to go to Augusta. It was a fork in the road, and it was very subtle, and it was just one little step in the wrong direction, in a continued path down that road without anybody saying, "Hey, we're going the wrong way." It was very costly. Very costly. And that's kind of what this word is. This word reproof. These are things that God brings into our life through the Word and through others. We're going to look at the Word. And we'll briefly look at others and how God uses reproof in our life for correction. It is, and I want you to remember this, that it's always an act of love, even if it doesn't feel very loving. Especially as we look at others, a lot of times others will not do it very loving. It'll probably come across more as a rebuke. But we need to remember that in all of that, if you look beyond that and we look at how we receive those things, that is still God graciously, even in somebody doing it totally wrong, is bringing His grace and mercy into your life, saying, stop. Don't go there. Turn. It's just it's a word, and it is an act of love, and it is for my good. And ultimately, by turning, it's also the good for others, as we will see. So as we look at this, those are the two primary ways that we will look at reproof. It's all, and as we see, God's reproof through His Word. All Scripture, all this Bible has been breathed out by God to men who, by the power of the Holy Spirit, wrote this down. This is truth. You can take every dollar you ever made and bank on this. This is never wrong. This is never wrong. You may argue it. You may have something that come against you and turn you sideways and not be able to totally defend. It still doesn't change. This is truth. This is truth, and it is always correct. It's also very active. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. It should be up on the screen for you. Get over there in my Bible. For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, in both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intention of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. We're talking about this Word that's been given to us. This God has given to us to live by, to see people take this Word that is alive, and this Gospel that we talked about. It's living. It changes people's lives. It causes dead people to come to life. This is powerful. We don't even give it its due credit. We had something come across the other day. They said, hey, got somebody who's searching and seeking. Do you recommend some books? Yeah, this one. Yeah. Be careful. We laugh, but that's the tendency, right? There's good books. They're great books. They're helpful. There's been books that have changed my life by men who can write and show me how to use this and what this means and all of that. But there's no substitute for this right here. This is the power of God unto salvation. This book is alive. And it cuts. And it cuts us. It cuts those who don't know Christ that we can use and open their eyes, and God uses to bring life out of death. People who are dead and have absolutely no hope. You share this gospel, read the book of John. That's what I want to say. Go tell them. Get it on tape. Get it on your iPhone. Take two fingers and swipe it down the front. It'll read it out to you. Get it. We watch Jacques come to Christ. Why? Because he started reading the book of John. You want to know Christ? You want to know who He is? He'll tell you. It's really clear. It's been a great study for us to be in. It's been so encouraging to me, and to see all that Christ claimed and all that He came against, always marching to the cross. Just constantly marching to the cross. He knew that's where He was headed. This book is alive, and it cuts. It divides the soul and spirit and joints and marrow. It's discerning your thoughts and the intentions of your heart. Does anybody else know that? We don't want them to know that, do we? For most part, God takes this Word, and as we read this Word, as we are taught this Word, as we study and we memorize this Word, God uses it, and he narrows in. And it's almost like even a scalpel, but He says a two-edged sword cuts both ways. And God is constantly using this for reproof in our life early on so that we may not experience rebuke. It's the Word, and it's powerful. And ultimately, this fork in the road that He's constantly saying, don't, no, turn, go, wrong, wrong intentions. Guard your heart. Fight against sin. Stop. I'm calling out to you softly, softly. So don't go there. My Word's telling you, going, oh, we know better. Don't go there. That's wrong for you. You don't want that. You may think you want that. You really don't want that. We know. We see. If we would stop and look, the destruction that would come. But ultimately, we will give an account to Him. He says at the end of that verse, going, we will give an account to God. That's why it's so important, God's Word. It's what makes us complete. We know that it has everything that pertains to life and godliness for us. It's why it's good for you to be in a church. You claim to be a follower of Christ, you should be in a church. You should be in a church who preaches the Word. You should test it. You should make sure that whatever is being taught and preached lines up with what God's Word says. Don't be afraid to graciously go and challenge a man. Challenge may be the wrong word, but just approach the man and say, can you explain that to me a little better? If you see something that's an error, he's human. But it's to sit under the teaching. Rush is doing such a great job of walking through the Scriptures, taking the skills that God has given him and opening the Scriptures to us and then making application to our lives so that we're not only hearers of the Word, but we are doers of the Word. That's part of what this reproof is. We hear, we walk out. I got people who can quote me Scripture and live contrary to the Scripture that they would quote. We need to be in this Word. We need to be saturated with it. It should consume us. We're under good preaching. We're under the reading of the Word. How about memorizing the Scriptures? You memorize the Word of God? We should. We memorize the Word of God. What's one good reason why we should? So I won't sin against you. Sin against God. Not me sinning against you. Look at it further. It's my sin against God. That's what we miss. Our community group was about six months ago. Time flies when you're having fun. Started memorizing Scripture. And even in that, we constantly remind ourselves, don't forget. We memorize it and we moved on. We're memorizing another passage. But those are good things, and those are things that what we should be doing is then meditate. You ever meditate on the Word of God? You know what it means to meditate on the Word of God? That's a term for chewing your cud. You ever chewed your cud? Absolutely not. You're not made to chew your cud. A cow, a rabbit, that is something that chews its cud. A deer chews its cud. They eat, goes into one stomach. Then they regurgitate it back up. They store it, and then they'll pull some up. And then they'll chew it. Chew on it some more. Get all the nourishment out of it. And then it goes into another stomach. And then they're chewing on that and digesting that and taking it in, making sure they're getting everything out of it that they possibly can. And that's what it's talking about. It's not even great that you're memorizing the Scriptures and going, taking another step further and go, we should be meditating on the Word of God. Bring it back up. Chew on it. Ingest it. Apply it. We are weak in the area of applying the Scriptures to our lives. We know it, yeah, but. No but. Do all things without grumbling and complaining. Really? No. Yes. Honor everyone. Keep going back to this. Came up in our community group a year ago on a passage Russ was preaching in Peter. When we were in Peter. Honor everyone. I'll tolerate you. Might be kind to you. Honor you. honor. We need to apply this word so that we won't sin against God, and that He is equipping us for a good work, so that the good work in us will be a good work to others and to the glory of His name. That's what He's working in us when He uses this reproof by His Word. As we read this, I can remember a couple years ago, there was a prominent preacher that came up, and I think it's a good idea. But there was a term that just kind of like a dog hearing a strange noise in the house. He kind of cocks his head, and it's like, we give our people too much Bible, and I'm kind of like, eh. And he was talking about, we're preaching 3 messages a week. And it's like they can't hardly get the application of this message before we give them another message. And then we come back and we give them another message. If you didn't grow up in church, or, you know, I don't know if this is Southern Baptist, but we used to go Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And we had Tuesday night visitation, and, you know, now we've got it down to 1 message a week. And so in some sense, I would say yes, but I think the challenge is not so much is it too many messages, it's a weakness in our ability to apply the Scriptures. Maybe a laziness, a little lack of discipline in our lives to apply the messages that we're hearing, to really work on those. I'll never forget meeting with a man that it was, we started just, we were accountable to one another, memorizing Scripture together, praying together. And on Thursday morning, he looked at me one time and he goes, "So what are you working on from Sunday's message?" And I'm kind of like, you want to remind me what Sunday's message was? Because I really had trouble trying to come up with what was Sunday's message. Because there's a danger in just walking in and hearing teaching and good preaching and saying, "Wow, that was impressive." That's not the goal. That's not the goal. The goal is that the Holy Spirit will take this and that they will use this in our lives to make us like Christ, to correct us, to reprove us as we walk this life. Too much Bible? Too busy with the things of the world. Playing games. What is it that consumes your time? Hours on stuff. Things, sports. God sends these reproofs as corrections for us. He takes these reproofs very seriously. You need to get your running shoes on. I don't know. I told them back there at the table, I may not use all these, but we're going to run through them. These are God's warnings against dismissing His loving rebuke, His loving reproof. In Proverbs 10:17, you'll be on the screen, so don't even try to follow. I'm not even going to try to do it from my Bible. They're on here. The one who rejects goes astray. He also leads others astray. You can kind of read those scriptures. Here's one for you. Did you know stupid was a biblical word? Proverbs 12:1. It's great. I love that. My wife didn't care for that a whole lot. I said, "Well, it's in the Bible. It's all right." The one who rejects reproof is stupid. And not in a sinful way. It's rejecting God's loving, gracious reproof from a direction that you're going. Poverty and disgrace comes from them. Proverbs 13:18. You rejected reproof. Proverbs 1:24-30. One who despises reproof. This is strong. "Because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention, and you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof." Some of this is for those who aren't Christians. But there is great wisdom here in going, don't do this. There is destruction that will come. We may not reach this destruction because we are His. If you're a Christian, you won't reach utter destruction. But destruction can still come if we don't listen, if we spurn His reproof in our life. And He does it so kindly and graciously. just softly. And the challenge for us is learning to listen to God's still small voice. Because early on, He will say, turn. As you read the Word, get this out of your life. You need to get this out of your life now. Don't continue down this. Oh, there's a path that's coming. There is a calamity that will come. Proverbs 1:31 says, they shall eat the fruit of their way. Proverbs 5:12-14, they will end and say, and I am at utter ruin. And at the end of Proverbs, this is one who, it can't be a Christian, but there is great wisdom in learning along the way. We can experience a portion of this going, and when ruin comes for the fool who resists reproof, it will be sudden and devastating. He who is often reproved, yet stiffens his neck, will suddenly be broken beyond healing. Matthew Henry says, if God wounds, who can heal? That's the path of one who has turned from God completely. Those are the ones that we're trying to take the gospel to. Because God uses that to reprove, to draw them to Himself, to turn them. No, don't turn from me. Don't stiffen your neck against me. Come. Come. Galatians 6:7-8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Whatever you sow, you will reap. That's just a principle within this world. That applies to this world. Watch somebody's life. See things that come and reap. Whatever you sow, God says, I will not be mocked. Turn. He offers grace. This is where you see God is so long-suffering. Long-suffering in this. Because He starts, He's going, reprove. Reprove. Keep going. We keep driving the wrong direction. Because I won't listen. Because I won't turn. I won't obey. Remember last week? Listen intently. Obey. My response. Those are things that I'm working on from last week. So that God will use in my life to equip me. To change me. To use me for good work. For Him. But just as astounding are the promises that God gives us in His Word. Proverbs 13:18. Whoever heeds reproof is honored. Proverbs 15:5. Whoever heeds reproof is prudent. He is marked by wisdom. He is shrewd. He has sound judgment. Proverbs 15:32. He who listens to reproof gains understanding, gains intelligence. Proverbs 15:31-32. It's a life-giving. Will dwell among the wise, those who will listen. He is 10:17. He said He is on the path of life. As we listen to the reproofs that God gives to us. Proverbs 29:15. Rod and reproof give wisdom. This is even dealing with the child. Proverbs 6:23 says, reproofs of discipline are the way of life. And the last one is Proverbs 1:23. The one who embraces rebuke, God says, I will pour out my Spirit to you. The Scriptures God uses to reproof, to help guide us, help us to show the errors of our ways and the decisions that we make and the choices that we make, going, because God's ways are not our ways. His ways are far higher than our ways. He tells us in Isaiah. There is this flesh that still lives within me. This sinful flesh that still hangs on to me. That I don't have to submit to any longer because God has put His Spirit in me. And I can now yield my members as instruments of righteousness to Him. And that's what we're doing. And as we do that, as we stay in the Word and we read the Word and we meditate on the Word, we sit under sound teaching of the Word, we meet with one another. I have somebody to look at me and say, man, you need to make a correction in your life. Or are you working on this? You know, the Scripture tells me, and it's like it convicted me this the other day, going, have you ever thought about this? I've had so many men do that in my life. And that's such a help. We grow with one another. We're here building one another up. That's part of what we do. It's part of why we meet as a community group. Why? So we're applying the Scriptures that are being taught from Sunday. So that we won't just be hearers of the Word and go on and follow our flesh and our desires to please Kevin. I like to please me. I like to make me happy. And sometimes this doesn't seem like it's going to bring me much happiness. It may not bring a lot of happiness. It'll bring great joy. It'll be unbelievable joy to be walking with God and never seeing the destruction that may have come by not listening to the simple, small, still, calm voice of God saying, don't do that. Choose this way. Choose this way. Counsel also, reproof, rebuke will come from others. It'll come from one another. It should come from one another. We should be doing this with one another. As lovingly and as graciously as we possibly can. Always examining, knowing that I'm coming to you as a sinner and know I got no business really coming to try to make a correction in your life. Other than the fact that I'm standing on what God says to do and is the protection for His people. It comes through people. God reproves through others. We'll run through these Scriptures really quick. These are not on the screen, but you get reproof, you get instruction, you get wisdom from a father and a mother. They're giving you correction and reproof to help you, to guide you in wisdom. That's what they're doing. God given to you and all of us who have children, that is a call. We are to teach them as we rise up, as we walk, as we sit down, constantly pouring these into, giving them the Word of God so God will use that to draw them to Himself. Forsake not your mother's teaching, Proverbs 1:8. Titus 2 is full of teaching. Then the many relationships, let the older teach the younger. Women, teaching younger women how to stay home, how to raise your children, how to love your husbands, because we're difficult to love. And you need somebody to walk with you. Even if it's not older, at least grab somebody and walk together and read your Word. It's just good if you have somebody a little bit older, they just kind of bring a little more to the table. You know? And it's just God-given. There's nothing necessarily special about them. It's just what God has taught them along their path. And they can clearly save you from destruction. They can point you to something simple that you'll walk out of there with something that you may have been challenged with and going, I just don't know. It's probably a good word to say, just do it anyway. Just trust God. Measure it against the Scriptures. Make sure that it lines up with the Scriptures. It's not my opinion that's going to change you or make you better. It should be godly counsel from the Word. But also they got experience that they've gained by seeing whether I made a right decision or I made wrong decisions. And we share that with one another. It's God's economy. It's the way He designed it. It's the way it is to be. Psalm 141:5 says, let a righteous man strike me. It is kindness. Let him rebuke me. Let my head not refuse it. Oh, accept it. Learn to embrace reproof, rebuke, when it comes from those who you know who are godly, who are trying to walk. And even if they do it wrongly, see it as it's coming from God. God's walking with you. He knows exactly what's going on. He's seeing what's going on. And he's saying, you know, even if it was done wrongly, it is maturity in my life to look through the wrongness or the way it was delivered or the harshness that it may come to me and going, is there truth here? Then I need to go in and cut this out of my life. Even if it wasn't done rightly. Learn to take that in and allow God to use that to change you. Proverbs 27:5, better is an open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Ecclesiastes 7:5, hear the rebuke of the wise. Matthew 16:22 is not up there. Peter rebuked Jesus. I would not recommend that. You're supposed to laugh. Luke 17:1-4, he says, brother sins, rebuke him, forgive him. Even if he comes for the same thing seven times in the same day, continue, forgive that brother. Rebuke him, help correct him. First Timothy 5:20, he who persists in sin, rebuke them in the presence of all, so that the rest may stand in fear. That's where you start to see a little bit of a difference in reproof and rebuke. Because it is an act of love from God for me and for others. It should put fear in us, going, man, this is sinful. Why? This is heading down a path of destruction. There's destruction coming. Not only for you, but for those who are around you. Always remember, though, this is an act of love. It should be done if we do this in much love with one another. To save me from destruction, leading me in a path of righteousness. A fork in the road for a sinful soul. Reproof, correction, conviction, a change of direction from a destructive path. This fork in the road, an unbelievable act of love from God. I can testify of not doing this and list you destruction that came in my life. I could line up people here, probably go down the wall of going, reproof, I didn't listen. I didn't turn, and destruction comes, and it hurts. This is devastating. And every one of them was standing, and if I could have just done something differently, I would have. And we can. And it's the simple things of going, being in the Word, not heeding the Word, straying from the Word. I can promise you, every single one of them, every single time with myself, when we start to miss this, you can always go back and go, how was your Scripture reading? How was your time with God? Kind of got off from that. It's not a big deal. You don't want to get legalistic, do you? And like every morning, up. You know, spending time? Yes. Yeah. I don't want legalism, but I'll want you up. Yes. Yes. In the Word. Why? Because it's what God uses, this power. It'll make correction in our life. It protects me. It guards me. It hedges me in. It makes me like Him. He longs to see His reflection in my life. He takes that Word and He turns up the heat and He wants to get the dross out of our life so that it's silver. When you turn up that heat, the dross, you skim it away and it's a perfect reflection and going, yeah, yeah, that's what I want to see. It is a straying from the Word. It is rejecting wisdom from others. So I ask you this morning, what changes are necessary in my life, in your life, to be more in the Word? To make sure that I'm staying under the preaching of the Word of God. to memorize the Word, to meditate on the Word. Grab hold of another brother or sister and say, I need help. I'm not doing well at this. Good. We both won't do well together. But by being together, we'll do well. We will. We will love one another. We'll encourage one another. Why? Because it's so important, because destruction comes. And God, in His long-suffering and His patience and His kindness, it usually goes for quite a ways before, man, final, you know, destruction just comes. Because we keep sowing over and over, little step by little step. His Word is a lamp unto my feet. It's like one step at a time. And that's the way His reproof comes. Not that I've taken 5 or 6 steps.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's every step. To apply last week's message to this, to learn to listen intently as He graciously leads me, and that my obedience in Him, really? Trust and obey? Woo! You just sang that. Can you pull that up? The last verse, I think it was. It's not in my notes, so you have to be careful. But this is good. I don't know if you got it. I know it wasn't planned, so it's not their response. Their problem. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet. Or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says, we will do. Where He sends, we will go. Never fear. Only trust and obey. You sang that this morning. You sang that, if you sang with us. Is that our heart? Is that really our heart? We want it to be. Absolutely. Yes. That's what I want. That's what I want for all of us. That's what God wants for all of us. And that's why He uses this reproof in our life. And if you sit here today, God's form of reproof to you, if you don't know Christ, come. You're on a path of destruction that's eternal. Your ruin will come and there will be no hope. There will be no fix. God graciously comes and He gives His Son. He laid down His life so that you could be saved. What work is there for us to do in our lives? Join me as we pray to God. Father, You are just constantly remind us through Your Word.